Let's read together Genesis 19, verses 1 through 14. In this first section of Genesis 19, we have the arrival of the two angels in Sodom to announce the coming judgment to Lot and to rescue Lot and his family out of Sodom. Genesis 19, beginning at verse 1. Now the two angels came to Sodom in the evening, and Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom. When Lot saw them, he rose to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, "Hear now, my lords, please turn in to your servant's house and spend the night and wash your feet. Then you may rise early and go on your way." And they said, "No, but we will spend the night in the open square." But he insisted strongly, so they turned in to him and entered his house. Then he made them a feast and baked unleavened bread, and they ate. Now before they lay down, the men of the city, the men of Sodom, both old and young, all the people from every quarter, surrounded the house. And they called to Lot and said to him, "Where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us that we may know them." So Lot went out to them through the doorway, shut the door behind him, and said, "Please, my brethren, do not do so wickedly. See now, I have two daughters who have not known a man. Please let me bring them out to you, and you may do to them as you wish. Only do nothing to these men, since this is the reason they have come under the shadow of my roof." And they said, "Stand back." Then they said, "This one came in to sojourn, and he keeps acting as a judge. Now we will deal worse with you than with them." So they pressed hard against the man Lot and came near to break down the door. But the men reached out their hands and pulled Lot into the house with them and shut the door. And they struck the men who were at the doorway of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they became weary trying to find the door. Then the men said to Lot, "Have you anyone else here, son-in-law, your sons, your daughters, and whomever you have in the city? Take them out of this place, for we will destroy this place because the outcry against them has grown great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it." So Lot went out and spoke to his sons-in-law, who had married his daughters, and said, "Get up out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city." But to his sons-in-law, he seemed to be joking. Let's consider a few background notes. When the angels arrived in Sodom to announce the coming judgment, they found Lot sitting in the gate of Sodom. Now, the gate of the city in Bible days was like the town hall. The elders of the city would sit there and determine city policies and judge community affairs. So it looks like Lot had not only moved into Sodom, but he was active in the government of Sodom. We know from 2 Peter chapter 2 that Lot was a believer, and we read there that he was oppressed by seeing the wicked conduct and lawlessness of the people of Sodom. So most likely then, Lot was an elder of the city and was trying to bring reform to Sodom as he sat in the gate of Sodom. Verse 9 would indicate this. The people of Sodom said, "This one came in to sojourn, and he keeps acting as a judge." Lot's efforts at reform in Sodom were not successful. The problem was that the bottom line for Lot was not to serve God and be a missionary to Sodom, but to selfishly get all that he could out of this worldly city. You can't have it both ways. The Lord Jesus said, Matthew 6, 24, "You cannot serve God and mammon," or riches. The two angels, appearing as men, had come to Sodom for two reasons. One, to confirm that the sins of Sodom were great and that God was just in his judgment of Sodom. And two, to rescue Lot and his family in answer to Abraham's prayers and concern. Well, so much for our background. Let's move now to our doctrinal or teaching points. So doctrinal point number one, God says that homosexuality is a sin. God says that homosexuality is a sin. It's quite obvious from verse 5 that the men who had surrounded Lot's house were the homosexuals of the city. We know from Ezekiel chapter 16 that homosexuality was not the only sin of Sodom, but it is the sin for which Sodom has been known, even to this day. Look how widespread the sin of homosexuality was in the city of Sodom. Verse 4. Now before they lay down, the men of the city, the men of Sodom, both old and young, all the people from every quarter surrounded the house. Think of it. And look what the angels say in verse 13. For we will destroy this place, because the outcry against them has grown great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. Jude verse 7 says that homosexuality was the sin for which God judged Sodom. Jude verse 7, Sodom and Gomorrah, having given themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after strange flesh, are set forth as an example suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. God says that homosexuality is a sin. You need to emphasize, God says it. Because these days, there's so many other views. It's not Dave Reed saying it. God is saying it. And we must agree with God. Under the Mosaic law, the sin of homosexuality was punishable by death. Leviticus 20, in verse 13, God said, if a man lies with a male as he lies with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. And God did not change his moral standards concerning this sin when we come to the New Testament. Romans chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. We read there, for this reason God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful, and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. The Bible leaves no doubt that there is a high price to pay for the sin of homosexuality. But what about the argument that it's genetic, and therefore it must be okay, and if it's not, then it's God's fault? Listen, genetic or not, we are all born with evil tendencies. And we can't pin the blame of our innate sinful natures on God. It's all the result of the bad fallout of sin, which has come into the human race. And we all struggle with sin. Some have a weakness in one area. Some have a weakness in another area. Remember, sin is not being tempted, but yielding to the temptation. Let's say that it can be shown that someone is born with a homosexual tendency. That tendency or weakness or vulnerability is not a sin. It's homosexual practice that is sin. Now here's the good news. God is willing to forgive this sin as well as any other sin when a person turns to Christ. And a Christian then, in the power of the Holy Spirit, can resist sexual temptation, whether it be heterosexual sin or homosexual sin. Now I'd like you to turn to 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 through 11. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed. But you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Notice in verse 11, such were some of you. Some of the Christians at Corinth had been homosexuals, but no longer. They had found deliverance in Christ. Now, it doesn't say they didn't struggle anymore with temptation, but they found victory in Christ. And the same is true today. Notice further what verse 11 does not say. It doesn't say, and such were some of you, but now you are loving, committed homosexuals in a same-sex marriage. No way. God says that homosexuality is a sin. In reference to this sin of homosexuality, we need to be like Abraham. Love the sinner, but hate the sin. In Genesis chapter 14, Abraham went out and rescued Lot and the other people of Sodom. and there would have been a number of homosexuals that he rescued. Abraham was not a gay basher. He rescued the homosexuals, but he did not approve of their sin, nor of their sinful lifestyle. Remember, God says that homosexuality is a sin. Doctrinal point number two. Believers can become desensitized to sin. Believers can become desensitized to sin. Look at what Lot says to the homosexual men surrounding his house in verses 6 through 8. So Lot went out to them through the doorway, shut the door behind him, and said, "Please, my brothers, do not do so wickedly. See, now I have two daughters who have not known a man. Please let me bring them out to you, and you may do to them as you wish. Only do nothing to these men, since this is the reason they have come under the shadow of my roof." How can a man who is clearly said to be a believer in 2 Peter chapter 2 do such a thing? Answer: believers can become desensitized to sin. Now, we know that back in those days, there was the cultural code of protecting your guests at all costs. So some Bible commentators have tended not to come down too hard on Lot for this action. In other words, Lot was a product of his culture. Well, that's exactly the point. Because of the culture that surrounds us, believers can become desensitized to sin. Lot moved into Sodom, and although he was a believer, he became desensitized to sin in certain areas. Lot was way off target here. His value system was all messed up because he had become desensitized to sin. Believers can become desensitized to sin. Illustration: just consider what you're willing to tolerate now compared to, say, 10 years ago or 20 years ago as to what you watch on TV or what movies you watch or videos you watch. Much more we could say here. Believers can become desensitized to sin. What about practical application? Is your Christian life a joke? Is your Christian life a joke? Verse 14. So Lot went out and spoke to his sons-in-law who had married his daughter and said, "Get up, get out of this place, for the Lord will destroy the city." But to his sons-in-law, he seemed to be joking. Lot's life and testimony were a joke to these men. I mean, you can hear them right now. Well, wait a minute, Lot. If you say Sodom is so bad, what are you doing living in Sodom anyway? No wonder Lot's message to his family was ignored. He appeared to be jesting. The same is true for many Christians today. Is your Christian life a joke? I mean, if we claim that we are believers and love the Lord and only what's done for the Lord Jesus really counts in the end, but then we go and live a materialistic lifestyle or try to get the most pleasure out of this world, our Christian lives really are a joke. Our Christian testimonies are hollow. They carry no weight. When we tell people that this world is under judgment and is passing away, we appear to be joking. If we really believe these things, why don't we live more in line with what we believe? Think about it. Is your Christian life a joke?